hour is Frederick Shaw. He is a native of Compton, California, has worked in that area his entire life. He is an advocate for issues including safe community centers, youth and family activities, and the importance of education, the reduction of poverty, and drug addiction. He worked with as a sheriff with the Sheriff's Department of L.A. County from 1980 to 1993, and he became in 1992 he became the president and co-founder of the World Literacy Crusade. Fred, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Well, you're going to talk about something that is very dear to my heart today, and I have been doing a lot of reading about it, and that is the drugging of our children, and particularly the drugging of the children in the foster care system. And you're going to talk about those children in California. This is a crime.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm glad, though, that there's someone like yourself out there, and the interest is growing in what's happening with these young people, our children. You know, they're our future. And if we're drugging them, you know, we are shutting off their chances of having an opportunity to successful lives and being productive citizens. So this is an issue that is dear to me also.
Well, we understand that the drug industry is attempting to, well, pretty much get us all on drugs. And with foster children, I think that probably 80% of them or even higher are given not just one drug, but maybe two or three or more. And that because the Medicaid is paying the charges for these children, they're just running up the tab, and these poor kids are suffering, and it's just terrible.
Well, it's become a money-making industry for a lot of different entities in our government and our society. The young people are being in my opinion, used for experimentation, since they do not have any concrete evidence that of these drugs being beneficial to these young people, other than the fact that most drugs, if we take them, will in the beginning make us think that we're benefiting from it. I remember when I was a teenager, a lot of people thought that marijuana made you smarter. People thought they were more alert with cocaine. It's like, all of this can seem like it benefits, because actually what you're doing is you're just dumbing down the individual, and they become more docile. And in our society, that represents control, and it means you're doing better. You don't question. You don't speak up. You don't stand up. So therefore, you're doing better. Actually, you're doing worse.
Right. And a lot of these drugs from the drug industry actually shrink brain tissue. They do horrible, horrible damage. And as you say, and as Dr. Peter R. Bregan says, they don't do anything for you. These are toxic chemicals that these drug companies are creating, and a lot of them actually, they can kill you. Literally kill you,
yeah,
or make you kill yourself.
And you know, my question, when I've debated psychiatrists on the radio, and I'm available to do that anytime, if you have one that's brave enough to come on this show and dare stand up against me on this issue, when we're looking at drugs like Ritalin, basically it's the same thing as cocaine. It goes to the same receptors of the brain. The kids are smart enough to know it, so they're now taking and crushing it and selling it to one another. I mean, it's just Russian roulette with the minds of our young people. These are mind-altering drugs, and there is nothing in the field of mental health that indicates that they understand anything about the mind. If they did, they wouldn't be drugging our children. You know, what happened to the good old cat, you know, when you had them on the couch and you gave them therapy? What happened to love? What happened to catering to the needs of the individual? Well, those things have gone by the wayside because of the fact that we don't have time to do that. So as many ways, like our diets and exercise or whatever, we look for the quick fix. So drugging the kids is a quick fix. But what could be wrong with a kid that we would give them a drug that could cause them to commit suicide? I mean, what crime have they committed? What behavioral crime have they exhibited out into the community that we could take a chance of them taking that drug and dying? You know, that's exactly what doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think that there's a lot of people that are so brainwashed into thinking that these drugs are actually helpful. And a lot of people will blame the symptoms that these drugs produce on some sort of devised mental illness. Would you obviously agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And see, the thing is that if anyone who is really interested in the subject would look at the side effects of the drug, you will find that many of those drugs have the side effects for the thing that you're supposed to be treating. Like Prozac, if you have depression, one of the things that Prozac can cause is depression. So how do you treat depression with a drug that can cause depression? That's actually making sure that the individual ends up depressed so you can continue to make money on that person by giving them other drugs. And that's what leads into the multiple drugs that you're talking about. How you get this one. You know, I was looking at a commercial the other day on television, and they're talking about the medication you have been described may not be enough. So add Abilify. You know, so we just keep adding drugs onto drugs, onto drugs, onto drugs, hoping that something works. And sometimes kids get enlarged hearts, they get brain shrinkage, a lot of defects, they get especially these kicks and shaking and stuff like that that happens to these young people and adults. You know, I don't want to leave them out, but this is about children, you know, and it's ridiculous that we're even allowing that as a society. Because let me just say this real quick. If somebody came and presented to us that there was a drug dealer out there that was selling drugs to children that would do the things that these psychiatric drugs are doing to children, we'd be in an uproar. But because it comes from so-called authority, we sit passively by and do nothing. You know, that's what's sad about it all.
You are so correct. And, of course, a lot of this started when the FDA approved of advertisements back in 1997 that it was okay to, in fact, they hire actors to act as doctors, and they hire actors that people know because the drug company themselves are not supposed to make these false claims. Otherwise, people could sue them. But they are hiring other people to make these claims.
Yeah, it's really sad that they're doing that. You know, you get the little bouncing ball and the smiling faces, and then a 10-minute list of all of the side effects of the drug. You know, and why am I to go to my doctor and tell him what drug I need when he's supposed to be the one that's the expert and tell me what I need? You know, so I go in and say, oh, I want Abilify. And he says, oh, you want Abilify? Okay. Wait a minute. When did this stuff start happening? Back when you just gave that date. And then they start advertising directly to the people. And then the people go in and request these drugs instead of the doctors having the, you know, I mean, it's all a game. And the FDA, when you inspect them, many of them have psychiatric backgrounds. And so, therefore, you have this unholy trinity between the pharmaceuticals, the FDA, and the psychiatric association.
Right. And I think also that the doctors get their information often from TV and from drug reps.
That's exactly correct. Exactly correct. And that is a shame. But this is not really a fault of the doctors, because the doctors are overwhelmed. They try to get their information from their journals and different things. And then they, you know, when these reps come to them saying that, you know, you're getting this drug and you're getting that drug and it does this and it does that, they don't have time to inspect it.
Sure. Fred, we do have a quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. I hate to cut you off, but we'll be back in 3 minutes. All righty, we are back. Our guest this hour is Frederick Shaw. That's S-H-A-W. W, and you are affiliated with CCHR, right?
Right, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights.
Mm-hmm. I just love that organization.
Oh, yeah, yes. they're a wonderful organization.
They are. They're absolutely fabulous. And the article, there's an article, it's called California's Foster Care Crises, and I've put it on the website and also in the chat room. And that article says that foster, and we were talking about doctors, and we'll get back to that, but it says in California, foster kids given drugs at a higher rate in California. And we're talking about kids from 12 to 18, that 22% of the foster kids in California, 22% are given these drugs. And as opposed to the kids in other states, are only 6%. What is going on in California? I know California's always been considered very progressive, but what is going on?
Yeah, we have a system where, but I have to continue. There's some kind of static in the phone right now. But there's a system in place right now where the lobbyists are taking over. The advertisements are taking over. And, you know, it basically comes down to the making of money. When you look at all of the drugs that are prescribed to the young kids in foster care, 72% of them are psychedelic. Perfect drug of some sort. That's way too much. You know, it's way too much. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can make the legislators aware. We can do our own lobbying. I don't know where the money would come from, but when you look at the fact that they're still sending hundreds of millions of dollars drugging these kids. Money that could be going into programs like basketball, drama, after-school programs, summer fight programs, all kinds of programs that we used to have before this onslaught of medication. So both programs are faded to the wayside, and all of the money is going into the drugging of the young people, and these young people are just, you know, lost. And I don't know why, and I think it's part of the advertisement of it all, that if our politicians have not been able to see this. This is a new information. This has been going on for years. And so I really hope that programs like this can send a light there and a movement where other groups come together, joining with CCHR, and actually attack this issue here at heart. Otherwise, we're going to have a society of zombies, young people walking around drugs.
Exactly. Now, did California, the California legislators, did they adopt the program Cal, I think it's CalMAP? It was a, there was a program in Texas that started in 1995, and they tried to export it to a lot of other states, and the legislators actually embrace and adopt this, and so sometimes the lawmakers or the lawbreakers are involved in this drugging.
Well, you know, and I'm not here to criticize politicians. I know a lot of them, some of them are actually my friends and so forth. But this is the problem with it. A lot of times the politician wants to go with the flow. Right now, there's this big thing with mental health. And everybody wants to, you know, be on the side of helping the children. The promo, you know, anything else that the American Psychiatric Association and some of those organizations have done is they have promoted their product right. And so, you know, the politicians want to be safe. They want to, you know, watch on what seems to be the trend. They want to be able to get the vote. And right now, the Psychiatric Association is just hard working, everybody. And they're lobbying them up. You know, I went to the Washington, D.C., and I asked them to look at CCHR. And I was representing the NAACP, the National Association of African Colored People. CCHR and I teamed up. And we went to lobby Congress. We went
Senate lobbyist in Washington, D.C., lobbying for the Psychiatric Association and the pharmaceutical company to be able to get legislation to Gorgeous Peace. We stopped in the wind because we were just door to door to door, appealing human being to human being, to people, and was able to penetrate that wall that is often there when you go and talk about the subject of mental health, and nobody can hear you because they're already getting their information from the authority.
Wow. People think that these drugs, if they don't have any information about it, if they're presented with the wrong information, they think that these drugs might actually be helping these kids. And of course, as you said, the American Psychiatric Association promotes this as some kind of a beneficial, humane thing that they're doing for these kids. And as you say, the politicians buy into it.
I don't see any scientific evidence to back the fact that this is truly beneficial, especially over the long haul, but there's a lot of the food that is very harmful. You know, at one time, I've seen, you know, stats like 7 out of 12 school shooters were on these psychiatric drugs. So, and if the drugs can cause you to have suicidal tendencies, then it sure can have you to have homicidal tendencies. That's why when police go to the call when somebody is threatening suicide, they come with their guns out because they know that the person will take out whoever's entering in or coming in to help or hurt them, that they will open fire, try to harm the other person as well as themselves. So to me, you know, when we start saying that it's beneficial, it's the main thing to do, humane for who? The guy who drives the BMW who was able to see 4 kids in an hour instead of one? I mean, who is it, you know, humane for? Because we could live in Hollywood Hills and have it dug out. I mean, but it's not benefiting these kids.
Sure. Fred, do you have a landline that we can call you back on during the break? Because the static is just not real great. I mean, people can barely understand what you're saying. So why don't we during the break call you back? Give the producer a landline number or maybe a Skype ID so that we can have better reception here. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, now one of the things that you mentioned was that the government actually extorts or interrogates or forces these people in order to get other things that they need. They say, okay, if you don't take the drugs, well, you know, we're not going to be able to help you with rent or something. Anyway, okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. Let's try and reconnect so that we can clear up some of that static. Be right back in 3 minutes. Okay, so, we've got a few more seconds. But, these drugs are terrible. I mean, it's not just the symptoms that they, like depression or something like that. They can actually get physical symptoms, dementia. They can have diarrhea. They can get a stroke. They can ruin their liver. I mean, it's not just that they're not going to feel good, that they're going to be all buzzed. They might just die or have something really awful, terrible, terrible happen physically. Okay, we'll be right back in 3.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Back. Our guest this second hour is Frederick Shaw. That's S-H-A-W. And the report that we're talking about is California's Foster Care Crises. And that is published by CCHRINT.org, which is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful organization that reports a lot of really wonderful But well, in this case, it's a terrible thing that they're telling us about, but we need to know it. And CCHRINT is, of course, for International Citizens Commission for Human Rights International. All righty. Fred, you're back?
I'm back.
Oh, you sound better. Oh, much better.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you were talking about... what were we talking about?
Oh, I think we were talking about the doctors not... you know, they're taking the word of pharmaceutical reps on what these drugs will do and their benefits and so forth instead of being able to research it themselves. And I was saying that a lot of that is not necessarily the doctor's fault, because a lot of doctors in this day and age are very busy, and they try to keep up on what's the newest information through their journals and articles, and so they don't have time to research it. So a lot of times they depend on these reps to tell them the truth about these drugs, which does not always come to them in a truthful manner. Another thing that is very dangerous about it is that I was told by, I believe it was Dr. Ann Block, who said that the pharmaceuticals spend over $15,000 for every physician in this country. That's like Laker tickets, Clipper tickets, if you're up in your way, I think you're up north, you know, Golden State Warriors, San Francisco Giants, opera tickets, all. So a lot of money is being spent as incentives, you know, when they start prescribing these drugs to their patients. And, you know, so, you know, we're fighting a battle that we really need as a society to take head on. And, you know, join forces with CCHR International. I think they're, you know, if anybody wants information from them, it's cchrint.org, and we should be able to, you know, get some help, even if they're having problems with their own family members or they feel like they're being abused. You had a drug that's been out on the market that caused female breast in men. What are we thinking? You know, why is there a major lawsuit going on? And the pharmaceuticals really don't care, because they're going to make big money anyway. So they can pay for $1 million, $1 billion. They can afford it because of all the money they make on those products. So, you know, but you got drugs creating female breasts in men. You know, that's something that shouldn't even be allowed.
Yes.
And now, how is it getting by the FDA?
You were talking about the money that doctors get from the pharmaceutical industry. And there is a database online where you can look up the doctors in your particular state who are on the take with the drug industry. And the state that has accepted, whose doctors have accepted the most money, is California.
Right. So therein lies your problem. On top of that, at one time, I know that only 2% of the doctors knew the actual side effects of those drugs. Now, that's probably changed a lot in the last 10, 15 years, but at one time, only 2% of the medical doctors knew the side effects of those psychotropic drugs.
Wow.
That's why they were giving them to children. See, back then. Now they're giving it to them with the information and still doing it. And a lot of these drugs are considered illegal for children.
Right. They were not clinically tested with children. And not only that, they weren't tested along with other drugs.
And I can give you something even sadder. I had gave a speech about these psychiatric drugs and the harmful effects on children and all of this. And a lady who attended worked for the foster care system in one of the foster homes. And I had suggested that you get two medical evaluations before you even consider putting a child on mind-altering drugs. And so there was this three-year-old girl who would scream, scratch her face, pull her ear, pull her hair, just horrendous screams, and they had put her on Prozac. She's 3 years old. So the lady grabbed the child and took the child to the doctor, and they found out that the child had a severe ear infection and head lice. But they had put this kid on a mind-altering drug. So my suggestion is you get not only one, but a second opinion. You know, when you, before you even allow anybody to put your kid on those drugs.
Right. And, of course, the children in foster care, the foster parents, maybe they're not as dedicated to these little children. They're getting paid to take care of them. And they have social workers. I imagine they have social workers. And are those social workers encouraging the foster parents to get those children on drugs?
I don't know if they're encouraging. I know they're not doing enough to prevent it. You know, most people just go along and do their job. Whatever the policy is, right or wrong, they just follow the procedure. So, you know, and you know, you can get in a lot of hot water if you go against the system because you're not trained in medicine, you don't know. So most social workers them just go along with the program and allow things to be the way they are. So
right.
That's where another thing that we have is a problem. But let me give you something even more. I used to run group homes for boys, probation homes. Kids that were wards of the state or a court and got in trouble. And they would pay me an extra $4,000 a month per kid if I was drugging them. Now, I wouldn't take the money. I ran a social worker model in my program, and we dealt with them in tough love. We dealt with them through clear-cut rules and regulations. We dealt with the toughest kids and some of the worst. A lot of our kids were kids that the other group homes didn't want, and we were able to help those kids. One guy, and I won't call his name, actually went on to play on championship teams with USC and play pro football. Okay, but that was, and it came out of my group home. But what it was just the fact that we dealt with them like they were human beings, and we had to get into the minds of these young people. I had a young man in my program that no one could control, and I locked myself in a room with him one day, and me and him were in there 3 hours. He was crying, I was crying. But what was the problem? This kid had a mother who was deaf, who also was a crack addict. And she would turn prostitution acts in front of the school he went to, and the kids would come to him and tease him about it. And naturally, he would fight them. And then the principal and everyone would punish him. Well, he started hating society. Because in his mind as a kid, he was protecting his mother. And in the inner city, one of the fastest ways to get in the fight is to talk about somebody's mother.
Right.
And so he kept getting punished for doing what he thought was right, defending his mother. And so he ended up this bad kid hating society. And me and him, we had a heart-to-heart, and I broke through to that young man, and it changed his life. For somebody to tell him that these people were wrong for not truly investigating what was going on with him. I didn't even say he was right. I just said, for them truly not looking into it and investigating what was wrong with you. No psychiatrist or psychologist had gotten to the problem, the root of the problem of that young man, and I did that evening, and I was able to help change his life.
Because you took the time.
Yep, that's it. But if I'd have gave him his pill and told him to go to his room, we'd have never got to what was ruining his life.
Wow.
And up until that time, he always saw his way out of the inner city poverty by selling drugs. But then during that, when he saw the effect that he created on his mother, and I said, it was
Fred,
the drug, that's
Fred,
what changed it.
I'm sorry, we have a break. We'll be right back. All righty, we are back. Our guest this hour is Fred Shaw, and literally you brought me to tears. Hearing that story, I just thank goodness for people like you, that you took the time with this child and showed him love and that you were there for him to be able to tell his story instead of you just handing him a pill. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, I hope that, you know, more of us can show the compassion that you're showing toward that young man who you don't even know. There are people who are looking at those kids every day and never have that same care and compassion that you're showing right now.
Well, I just, these are children, they're precious, and they need our love and our compassion. They need our listening ear. They don't need a pill. And when you were having a bit of static on the phone, you were talking about George Bush, that he'd signed some papers, and then you were talking about the policies that are in place. And there are actually policies in place that say, okay, this is the way that you handle this, that you give them this pill or that pill, where there are better ways of handling with life's problems than giving them a quick fix.
Well, that's the tragedy of our society right now. We're all looking for the magic pill. Unfortunately, these pills are more of that used by sorcerers, and the young people don't get the benefit from it. And why are we spending hundreds of millions of dollars drugging children when we should be putting the football programs, the drama programs, the tutoring programs, the food programs, all of the support systems that can wake these young people up and make them alive? You know, before the drugging, we had those programs in place. Now we have more kids on drugs than we ever had before, and all of the funding for the programs that used to give these young people something to do has been drying up. And I propose that half of the budget for mental health should go back into the park and recreation and programs like that, and help these kids find their niche in life and discover their purpose in life, and not just drug them as if they're cattle or something.
Right. And these are long lasting. I mean, a lot of kids that get out of the foster care system when they become of age, these are addictive drugs that they're taking. These are not just something that you can withdraw. In fact, some of the withdrawal symptoms are worse than being on the drug themselves.
Well, and not only that, kids can have psychotic breakdowns, situations where we should never put any person on a drug that they can't get off of. You know, we have this big war on drugs going on in the United States. Law enforcement officers, which I was one, have lost their lives. Countless citizens who were drug addicts have lost their lives. We got this big war going on, and then on the other side of the coin, we're drugging our kids like the way we are. Over 8 million children on drugs in the United States alone.
Wow. And many of them are in the foster care system, and I mean, they're drugging children who are under the age of 12 months.
Oh, yeah. They actually want to drug some parents from the womb. You know, it's like,
sure.
See, first of all, I was on it was a cable TV show once. And the lady who was the host, we did the show, it went good. I was debating a guy about this. And in the end, she came out and told me she was bipolar. And I said, really? And I said, if I could prove to you in 30 seconds you're not bipolar, would you go with what I've showed you? You're not a doctor. You're not an authority. I said, will you, in front of all these people, give me 30 seconds? She said, yes. I said, when they gave you the CAT scan, what did it say? She said, they didn't give me a CAT scan. I said, when they did the biopsy, what did it show? She said, they didn't do a biopsy. I said, when they took your blood test, what did it show? She said, they didn't do a blood test. I said, they're not psychiatrists, they're psychics. You know, they can just look into your eyes and tell that you have some type of disorder and prescribe you medication with no scientific basis. I said, when you have diabetes, they can test and find you have diabetes. When you have cancer, they can test and find it. You know, how come they can't find it with this? And if they can't find it and can't prove it, why are they giving us these deadly drugs as a cure for something that they cannot even put their finger on?
Wow, so what'd she say?
She was shocked. She was shocked. She said, my goodness.
But it's true. Absolutely true.
You know, and what mental health, they will, I can debate a psychiatrist on your show, and he will say, well, what you're saying is true, but there are some kids that should be drugged. So some kids equals all kids.
Sure.
Or unless you mean that some kids are the minority kids.
Exactly.
Some kids are the white trash kids that they label. The poor, in other words, that minority white trash, those are all Cold War for the poor. So is that who you can drug? Is that the some kids you're talking about?
Wow. Yeah.
And when you look into the history of mental health, you will find that some of the racism or a large part of it came out of mental health.
Really?
Words like drepetomania, which meant slave flight. You know, back in the time of slavery, they didn't look at the conditions that a man's wife could be sold, his children could be sold, that he could be whipped down in front of his kids. When he ran away, they said it was a mental disease because all slaves didn't run away. And the solution that mental health had then was to whip the daylights out of him.
Wow.
That's recorded fact.
That is very interesting.
Dr. Jalen West from UCLA said blacks were akin to rhesus monkeys in the jungle. This is what comes out of mental health. So then, what is the minority community to think if they have this information that these people are using them as guinea pigs? Why are you drugging kids? Because they can't read and write.
Yeah, a lot of times, well, I've read cases where children really were not taught in the school system how to read, and so they just give them some pills, and when the issue is that they simply were not told or taught how to read.
That's it. They have reports that said that 62% of all ADHD could be cured with a rigorous reading program.
Wow.
Then there's another report that it's about the same amount could be cured if you just change the diet of these young people. But we're drugging them.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Now, was there some sort of legislation passed in California that actually presented an algorithm that people were supposed to stick to, and if you didn't, you got in trouble?
You talking about the citizens? Let me tell you what I was involved in. We got President George Bush to sign legislation. I was representing the National Association of Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, and teamed with CCHR. And we got a law passed that said that schools could not force parents to put their kids on drugs as a condition for being in school. And what they were doing to the young people were, like, they say a boy is causing problems, then somebody decides he has ADHD, it goes up to some psychiatrist that never saw the kid, then he rubber stamps it. And now they come back and say this kid should be on medication. The parents say, nah, he's just a normal kid. I'm not putting him on medication. They send another letter. They say no. They send another letter. They say no. Then they file medical neglect against the parents and take him to Children's Services or foster care.
Right.
So we fought and got that law made as federal legislation so that they couldn't do that. Now, if it's being enforced, I don't know at this moment. But we actually did that, and it was signed by George Bush himself.
All righty. Well, we've run out of time, and we'll have to set up a debate. Fred, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you for giving a person like myself a forum to express what is actually going on in our communities and at least give people the chance to have the information. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And we'll talk soon. Thank
okay.
you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, back at 6 minutes after the hour.